greeting everyone. My deepest respect and to all of you. Yesterday I have been sitting here and tears just coming down my eyes and I couldn't stop it. And it says there's so much of the a feeling of gratitude and a feeling of touch deeply in my heart and for what all of you was trying to do from this side of the world. Somehow I feel the heart of Ajahn Chah from the first time I met him. The day that I was, intertwined between Dr. Burns and myself when we met at the, when I was very young, at the marble temples in Bangkok. I was interested in Buddhism then, and I went there, and Dr. Burns heard about this place named Ajahn Chah, and he invited me to come with him, and there was a flood or something happened in Ubon, and I look at him like, who do you think I am? I'm a lady, a Thai lady. I'm not going off to with anyone like that. And so I kind of turned off from that. And then 10 years later, I followed some very important person, and they went to this interesting temple, and I didn't even know there was the same temples. So I went in there when Ajahn Chah wasn't there. So I went and I think I met with Ajahn Liam. But I know I have to ask a question. And everybody said, you better hurry up because this woman is a wife of someone very important and they are waiting for me in the bus. But I know I have to go in there in that things and talk to someone. And Ajahn Liam was just sitting there. And so I said, what are we supposed to do, or what am I supposed to do with my suffering? And then he just so gently kind of leaned over and just sit, you know, kind of whispering something to me in a very, I didn't hear what he's trying to say, but I just like the way he talks to me. So I had to run after the bus, and then that was like 10 years later. Then I get married, come here and being with a Canadian man, and live in a very nice environment, and my husband is a realtor, and I have all the things that I want to have, 2 houses and cars and the BMWs and and job to run around like busy person, and I did very well on that, and then and then one day it was between North Vancouver and West Vancouver, and in Vancouver we have this old bridge called the Lions Gate Bridge. And one of these mornings, something hit me in the middle of on the bridge. Very powerful. And I just know all of this is nothing. And I just knew it. And I was like, where are you going to go from here? So a few days later in the morning, I start to cry. And I just like, I wanted to meet a teacher. I wanted to just see the rope of some kind. I don't care who the monk's going to be. I'm not particularly choosing now. And a few days later, someone called me and said, Kunan, he hardly talked to me, actually. And he said, there was a good monk come over in Vancouver. Would you like to come and visit? Then I know, that's him. I don't even know him. And sure enough, my husband's always late. So we will go to this big hall, and it's at UBC, and I've never been there before, and everybody will quiet, silence, and then the door opened. I come inside, and I just see Ajahn Chah and Ajahn Papagaro and Ajahn Diadamo sitting on the top, and everybody will quiet, and I just walk around everybody, and I just go right in front of him. I bow, and I just look up to him. And he just smiled, and he just, you know, like acknowledgement. Then I knew I'm his. Hook, line, and sinker. I belong to him, and I didn't even know that. And then later on, he said, come to Bangkok, come to Thailand. So right away, a few weeks after that, I took off and went to Thailand. But I had to chase after him. Me and my sister will find him because he was not at Nopapong. He wasn't here and there. I'm going to just wait until one day I went and visit with him and one of the people, his disciple in Bangkok. And then I went there and bowed and just smiled, look at him. And he said, good, you should come to Nopapong. And then I have my little camera with me and I said to him, I said, can I take your pictures? And he said, yes. And he took off his teeth. and he let me have that picture of him. So I can maybe start sharing some of that picture if you don't mind. It's a beautiful picture. He just put his hand on his heart and he just really interesting posture. when I went there with him, I stayed with him for a few days, and then he just said to my sister, he said, you don't need to hold her hands. You go home, go back to Bangkok, leave her here alone. And so I stayed with this big house by myself, and it's a place for about 10 people to stay for the guest house in the woods on the nun side. And then he said to me, he said, go and talk to that nun, the German nun. She's not happy. So I talked with her all night long. And then next day I came over to Ajahn Chah, and Ajahn Chah said, so have you talked to her? And then he said, yes. So I said, okay. Then he asked a Kamfa to take me to visit with Ajahn Chakaro and Ajahn Pasano. And he said, stay there. I don't know what he's trying to do to me, but anyway, I did. And the old nun went with me to keep me company. Downstairs, there was a box of the body of Tukata's mother, who haven't been cremated. And upstairs, we sleep upstairs, and every time we looked down, there was a body. And there's nobody there except me and Mechi. And so sometimes I just scratched the wall and I said, Mechi, are you still sleeping? She said, no. And I said to her, I said, I'm quite afraid of the ghost, you know. And she said, well, look at me. I'm like a ghost myself. She said, I look like a ghost. If you look at me and you're not afraid, then you should be fine. And then a few days later, he sent someone to take me back. And I'm very happy with what's going on. I went to him one day, and my mind was just taking on a big leap by thinking that now I'm going to have someone building the house. Actually, I can build a buy a house, and I'm going to invite a monk over, and then I tell him a little bit about that, and everybody heard about it, and he just fine. He let me go on and on. And my mind started to really take over my ego, actually. So one day he sit up on the thing, on the bench, and then he was talking to the Thai people who came, and he turned his back to me, and my mind between me and my sister, I just go on about plan to be a very important person in Vancouver, and then the monk will come and will do this and do that, and I will be a very important person. He turned around instantly and just gave it to me. He just, he was so brutal. He said, do you think that you can do all of that? Who you think you are? And so on and so forth. And those Thai people just didn't know what happened. Because from one hand, he was so beautiful and kind. And he just turned around. And I think I went hot and cold and then die and then born again. I went through the whole process of, I have a teacher. He is actually did it because he loves me. And then I went through my head. And then finally I gave in. It takes me about 3 minutes to 5 minutes for my raging, embarrassment, humiliated, back to normal, and then accepting it and love him. And that moment, I just, in my mind, because I can't do that, I can just sit like this, so I just, in my mind, I went to him in his foot, and I bow. And in my mind, after I bow, I looked up, and he just turned, and he had a smile on his face. And he nodded. So then I know that this is a teacher who knows everything's about me, and there is no way that I can get away with him. And that's how it's all happening. And then I came here, and then this and that happened. And then I have people that want to receive the same thing that I got it from Ajahn Chah. So I'm more than happy to give them. And then they will leave me alone. I think that's just enough for today. Thank you.